the teaching team at Elevation Church Australia. For more information about our church, service times and locations, visit elevationchurch.com.au.
How are we, 8 a.m.? First 8 a.m. First 8 a.m. for 2023. You're all bright-eyed. Some of you are a bit not so bright-eyed as I... The early birds, they catch the worm and they also catch a sleep on the back row normally. So I'm watching you. It's good to be here. Second week of the year, and it's crazy because I'm still getting used to writing that 2023. Anyone done that? Done 2022 and just added a little three at the end of it? Just like, you know, time just disappears, doesn't it? Really quickly, before you know it, it'll be Easter. And, you know, just time will just go. And so last week I shared an encouragement, really, to kick off the year. Who did get to the 9 a.m. last week? I know a bunch of you are here for the first time for the year, which is great. Some of you got there last week. And there was just an encouragement I brought last week, which I'll touch on it again, but I got to say this, as you sort of get into the groove of 2023, as you get ready for school, youth, you excited? Of course you are, right? You love school. As you're sort of getting into the groove of things, getting back to work, getting into sort of what this year is all about, last week I had an encouragement, in a nutshell, for the church last week, just reminded that Jesus is seated at the right hand of God right now, and he's praying for you. He's interceding for you. He's actually praying for your 2023 and everything that is ahead of you. God loves you that much. He's taken time out to pray for you. And that was a big part of last week. We also talked about the fact if God's praying for you, if God is for you, then who can be against you, right? And so that's an encouragement. Today I have another encouragement for us all. And this is something that's really, really on my heart for this community as we grow. In fact, last weekend, met a couple of new families, haven't been in church for years and years, and just rocked up. And I've noticed that every week I'm meeting new people that are just sort of popping in for the first time, or maybe looking for a church or seeking out God or whatever the journey you're on. I have a word for you and an encouragement and a challenge for you this year. This year, get connected. This year, get connected. You know, it's so interesting that we can stay on the fringes in communities, we don't get involved, and we can feel quite isolated. And who knows that we're not supposed to do life alone? Like, we're not supposed to do life alone. Over the Christmas holidays, we've done a bit of binge watching of TV shows, and Beck got into this TV show called Old People's Home for 4-year-olds. Put up your hand if you watch that. All the women in the room, all right? Old People's Home for 4-year-olds. And if you don't know this show, I'm just going to tell you now, I've watched a couple of episodes with Beck and I found myself bawling my eyes out. I'm an emotional guy, right? And I'm like, why would you watch this? Like, this is just torture to yourself to have to watch these sort of experience. And ultimately, it's 4-year-olds going into old people's homes and just hanging out with them and building relationship with these very lonely old people that don't have family or friends. And one of the things you notice in the show is just how powerful community is. How powerful it is when people get in connection and relationship. Now, we're talking to this one old guy. I remember at the start of the experiment, before he was just hanging out with his kids, he said that he was so depressed. His depression was through the roof. He had nothing to live for. And this little boy just loved him, like just kept on, come on, mate. And by the end of it, one of the things he said is, he goes, I just love that I've got someone that I can sow into. I've got someone that I can, you know, and it turned out this little boy didn't have a dad. And it just, his whole world came alive because he had purpose, because he had community. And my prayer that this year is that if you come to this church, you won't just sit on the fringes. You won't just keep on coming in the back door and sitting down and sort of sneaking out the back, but instead you'll actually decide that this is the year that you're going to get in and be part of what God's doing here. The truth is that in this world, we have a society that says, do it alone, it shows strength. You know what I mean? Like, I can do it. I can do it. I don't need anyone else. I've got this. And it breeds pride. It actually plays into this God complex that we have in us that I can do it by myself. I don't need God or anyone else. And I think it's so interesting that time and time again in the scriptures that says God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. And I would pray that our church this year will not be full of prideful people, but instead people that will ask for help, that will open up their lives, get connected, because it's actually God's way. You know, when Solomon, the wisest man on the face of the planet, finished his life, he had this time of reflection and he wrote a book called Ecclesiastes. Anyone read that? Anyone read that and felt a bit depressed about life? I mean, this wise man wrote Ecclesiastes, but he had some incredible observations about connection and relationship. And he wrote this in Ecclesiastes 4, 9 to 12. And this passage is often used at weddings because we talk about this passage often connected to, you know, a marriage. But it's actually about relationship in general. He says this, two are better than one because they have good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and no one to help them up. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three stands is not quickly broken. Notice the importance of this scripture. It wasn't just about the importance of friendship, but also that third cord, which is God himself. And this idea of friendship, relationship, and God being part of it, that's what you were designed for. That is what you were designed for. And maybe you're sitting here right now going, I'm an introvert. I need to get out. Trust me, the best thing you can do this year is actually connect. Connect. I love the example of Jesus' life. Notice that Jesus, when we read the story of Jesus, he himself isn't someone that does it alone. Like, he's God. He can do it alone. He can do anything, right? He's walking the earth. He's doing miracles. He's doing all this sort of stuff. And he doesn't go, look at me, boys. I'm God. I've got this. Look at me, boys. I'm God. I've got this. Don't just sit back. Watch the show. Look what your God can do. In fact, we see the complete opposite. Jesus asks his disciples to do stuff. Luke 9, 12 to 17, it says, late in the afternoon, the 12 came to him and said, send the crowd away so they can go to the surrounding villages and countryside and find food and lodging because we are in a remote place here. Jesus replies, you give them something to eat. Don't you love that? God goes, you give them something to eat. What? Hey, what? They answered, we have only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish unless we go and buy food for all of this crowd. And there's about 5,000 men were there. But he said to his disciples, have them sit down in groups of about 50 each. That his disciples did so and everyone sat down, taking the 5 loaves and 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke them. And he gave them to the disciples to distribute to the people. They all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 baskets of broken pieces that were left over. Jesus in this moment was saying, hey, it's time for you to bring a solution. Let's work together. Let's work in community. Let's be connected together. Let's not just leave it all up to God, but let's also be proactive in being involved. Let's do this together. Jesus' constant challenge to his disciples was, don't just be an observer, but get in the game. Be part of what I'm doing. And as you do, you're going to build relationship with me. You're going to see me and you're going to grow into the fullness that you have for your life. And I kind of asked the question as I was thinking about this idea of being connected this year. Why did Jesus constantly ask his disciples to get in the game? Because Jesus knew full well that he wasn't going to be there forever. And he was going to leave this on these 12. He was going to leave this with these guys. And he knew the task at hand was going to be great. And he wanted to give them an example of how they could be just like him on this earth. He would give them tasks and their response was there. I love that Jesus knew the task at hand was going to be massive. And while he was doing his miracles before the Holy Spirit, before the disciples started doing miracles, you think about it, Jesus had to do all the miracles. He had it all on himself and he was trying to pass this on to his disciples. And we find this in Matthew 9, 35, like this pinnacle moment. And you would have read this before, but I love it. It says this, Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Isn't such an interesting passage of scripture? It's amazing that Jesus' observation was clear over 2,000 years ago that there was an issue, at hand, right? There was this task at hand, and there was much greater work than and much greater need than there seem to be people to do the job, right? And what I find really fascinating is that as I've been a pastor over the last couple of years, I've talked to a lot of other pastors. Like what often happens even at the youth camp, you start talking to other pastors, right? And you start saying, oh, how's church going? And how's your community going? And all this sort of stuff. And the same response comes from every pastor. They're like, I just wish we had more workers. I just, like, there's so much opportunity to reach our community. There's so much need in our community. There's so much going on around us and in our community, but it just doesn't seem like there's enough workers. Isn't it interesting that after 2,000 years, nothing's changed? And why are we surprised by that? Jesus is like, gosh, send some workers, please. You need to pray for this, boys. And then the disciples, they take on the challenge. I reckon they were praying every day, right? Or they were praying every day, Lord, I have a vision, I know the need, but God, would you just bring the people that would step up and not just be observers, but would actually get in the game? You know, last May the 14th, pretty much 8 months ago, I talked about the future of our home beacon, right? And about a vision for a building that we'd have, a home for us. And even right now, we're in discussions on a building at the moment. There's so many conversations constantly going on, and that is still the journey. I still believe it. But I mentioned what I saw for our church, and there's no doubt, I'm probably going to share this again in 2 weeks' time, because who knows, we need a bit of repetition, okay? What did you learn at church today? Nothing. It's about kids at school, right? Nothing. But I still believe this wholeheartedly about Beacon Church, about the home that we'll have and what the home will look like. And I mentioned this back in May last year. I don't necessarily know what it looks like as a building function, but I do know what it looks like as a community function. I have a vision for this church, and I said this and I'll say it again. Beacon Church will be a place of worship, a place where people will come and find their victories in Christ. A place where I believe prayers will be answered and miracles will be poured out, like Beck was preaching and speaking into just before. I'm believing that it'll be a place dripping with the anointing of God, and for that reason, people's lives will be changed for eternity. It'll be a place where people will hear the truth about Jesus Christ, what he did on the cross for them, and through his resurrection, what hope is in store for those who believe. A place where we, a loving people, will guide people home to Jesus. That's what this beacon mission is, through both truth and grace. Not just one, but both. I see a thriving kids ministry. I love our kids ministry, right? I think that kids ministry up there is the most important thing that's happening this morning, right now. A place where every child wants to be on Sunday. Not just for fun, because they want to hear from God. I see a youth ministry busting at the seams with young people that find their identity and purpose in Christ and God. I see it. You leaders, you're doing it, okay? It is just a seed. I think you guys took like 34, 36 youth as well as leaders. And I'm telling you, their lives are changed because of what these young people sacrificed last week, okay? It is happening. I see it, and it's just the tip of the iceberg. I see a young adults community full of young professionals and influencers that are going to bring change in the marketplace, restoring righteousness in places that evil has had its way. I talk to you guys, you young professionals, you young business owners, you guys that have got vision. I see you doing it. Young families thriving, and our over 50s ministry passing on the baton to those younger than them like never before. If you're over 50, we love you. We love you. We love what you bring. We love your faith. Don't stop. A few years ago, I was talking to someone over 50. They had so much gold within them. This is at another church. And I said, what are you guys doing this year? And they said, oh, we've done our time. Don't be like that. Everything you have can be passed on, and we need it. We need it.
We are very wise, someone just said, and humble. And so,
you know, those of age being pillars of faith that will be a guidepost for us young people. I see an outreach arm of Made with Love. I love that we've been feeding the community with Made with Love. If you've been cooking all of last year and filling up that freezer, thank you. So many lives blessed because of your cooking skills, your hospitality. I love it. I see it can be so much more, feeding the needs like never before in this community. Meals being prepared. I see our future building with an industrial kitchen, making it easier to do. And I see people from every walk of life come and be embraced with open arms, receiving the gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. And I said this, and I still believe it. I can see it because I know who my God is. And I know that in this room, we have everything we need to achieve it. Because you are the church. You are the church. Every person in this room has something to contribute in 2023. You are needed, you are important, and we want you to be part of it. I want you to be praying this year and even in this next 24 hours. God, what is it that you have for me? What gifts have you placed on my life to use in 2023? And maybe you've been holding back, but this year it's time to step out. That vision hasn't diminished in the last eight months. It's grown, okay? That vision is growing. And I'm more and more convinced that that vision will be outworked in 2023. As I mentioned, talk to pastors. They're like, man, we just need more people, more volunteers. And I'm like, yeah, I get you. I understand. I understand that there's need. Got to understand that when Jesus was doing his ministry, as I mentioned before, but I'll say it again, if you look at the life of the ministry of Jesus, there were a lot of crowds that gathered to hear Jesus preach. There was a lot of people that loved to receive free food as well. And then there came a few guys that did all the work. It seemed that these 12 had to do it all. But I've got encouragement for you this week. The reality is, and I actually heard this on youth camp on the Thursday, and I thought it was great. One of the preachers said, once you've been rescued, your job is then to become a rescuer. You go from rescued to rescuer. You were listening. Some of the boys went, I've heard that before. And my prayer is that we'll become rescuers, that we will respond to the gospel, that the gospel will change us. If you haven't heard this before, in 1 Corinthians 12, 4 to 27, it talks about how we all have individual gifts, that we are the body of Christ. This is a powerful passage about the gifts that are on your life. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. This is God distributes these. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it has the same God at work. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given the Spirit of the message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers, to another, prophecy, to another, distinguishing between spirits, to another, speaking in different kinds of tongues, and still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of the one and the same Spirit, and he distributes to each one just as he determines. It says, just as a body, though one has many parts, but all its many parts from one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I do not need you. The head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, these parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. Is that saying someone's a butt? I don't know. While our presentable parts need no special treatment, but God has put the body together. Don't be like, that's me. I'm sitting here, all right? Give greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is part of it. And God has placed in this church, first of all, apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, and of different kinds of tongues.
All are apostles, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, do all work miracles, do all have gifts of healing, do all speak in tongues, do all interpret. Now eagerly desire the greater gifts. Paul is just putting it out there that you have a place. You are needed. You have a gift on your life. Some of you are thinking, I'm a belly button. What's the point? I just gather mess, all right? But the reality is, it's important. It's important. Okay, so is that what you're saying? I'm a belly button. You're just laughing there, okay? But here's the thing. You might not think you're important, but you are. You're important. You're important. You're part of the body of Christ, and you need to use your gift in church. I don't know about you, but have you ever lost something that's very small but's really important? Ever lost a key? All of a sudden you can't start your car? Ever lost something that just you like, I didn't think it was that important, but now I know it's really important, really, really important. Yesterday, I needed a computer charger. And when you can't find a computer charger, that gets really annoying when your computer's flat, right? The reality is sometimes we don't even know something's missing until it comes up. We haven't observed it. And can I tell you, I know this well and truly from an experience I had years ago on a bus trip with a bunch of teenagers. We went down to Hillsong Conference. We were coming back later in the night. It was about 1 a.m. We're going to drive through the night back to Brisbane. And we blew a tire on the side of the highway. At 100k an hour, blew a tire. And all the boys, they stunk like at youth camp. Okay, you know the smell, guys. And we're on this bus, and as we blew this tire, we pulled over on the side of the highway, no phone reception, middle of nowhere. And we went to this bus that we'd hired, pulled out the jack to change the tire, and the jack was missing a part. That part was really important in that moment. And I remember being on the side of the highway and thinking to myself, this is the worst case scenario. We're trying to pick the youth leader, which we're going to send off into the night and hope they didn't die. Like, we're like, we need phone reception. Everyone's like, all the young people are like, what are we going to do? And I remember just having a moment of going, I don't know. And sometimes I feel like that as a pastor when things change. People come to me, what are you going to do? I don't know. I don't know. But what I do know is God has given every good gift, and in this place there is every need covered. Here, right now, I may not know it. You may not be out working it. But the thing that I did do on that night, I remember with this young guy, because he was stressing me out. He was a young teenager, very stressed, highly strung. Kept on saying, what are we going to do? I said, we'll just pray. So we prayed on the side of the highway, God help us. God help us. I've never prayed so fervently because I'm like, we are stuffed, right? We got no, this jack is, and so we're sitting on the side of the highway and it must have been about, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes. Cars are going past us at 100k an hour. No one's stopping for a bus on the side of the highway. And then all of a sudden we hear this. I remember looking out the front of this bus and there's these tail lights lighting up and someone's reversing down the highway. They sort of fishtail in front of our bus, and this guy gets out of the bus, and to this day, I've never got his name because I was so distracted by his lush mullet. This guy gets out. This is maybe 2 a.m. now, right? This guy gets out, and all the boys are like, who is this guy? And this guy's like, what seems to be the problem? And I said, oh, we've just blown a tire. And he goes, oh, I've got a jack in my car. I want to see if that works. And it fits perfectly. And this guy with his luscious locks and his mullet flowing in the air is changing our tire on the side of the highway. He's dropping all sorts of language, which I can't say in church. I'm chatting to him about what is he doing. He's off to a party. And I said, mate, why'd you reverse up the highway? He goes, oh, I don't know. I wasn't going to stop, but something told me I needed to go back. That's just the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit just prompts a dude with a mullet. And I said, man, I go, dude, you should not reverse up a highway. That's dangerous. And he goes, yeah, I was thinking that. So anyway, he changes our tire. We have our miracle. We get on the bus, the guy with the mullet, see you beeping later and see ya. Bye, mullet angel. You know, like it's just, you know, appears in many different shapes and sizes. But I was thinking, you know, it's amazing. God just brought about the solution after some prayer. Some prayer. Like, if people ask me questions about all sorts of things with this church, what does Beacon Church look like? As I said, I got the vision there. We're looking at a building and I'm like, people, how are you going to afford that? I don't know. I'm not sure. God can do it. I don't know. And maybe your gift is in the financial back. You're like, man, I can't sing. I can't do anything. I can't even stand on the door. I'll scare people away. But I have the gift of generosity. Maybe that's you. You're like, this year in 2023, I want to step up and use the gift that God's placed in my life. And I want to see some things happen. There was a missing piece. None of the boys had a jack on the bus. No one else had it. But God brought someone along at exactly the right time. And I've seen time and time again him do that. And my prayer is each and every one of us, as we go into 2023, that we would actually listen to the voice of God. Maybe God is actually stirring you right now going, you need to go there. You've got this gift. You've let it lay dormant. You need to reverse up a highway. It might be outside your comfort zone. Maybe you need to put up your hand and say, I'd like to serve in kids. I haven't done it in a long time. Kids terrify me, but I just know that God wants it. Maybe God actually wants to stir you into a place where you find your giftings. I don't know. Maybe God's stirring you to be part of the cafe or doing something. I've heard time and time again for years and years and years that in most communities, church communities, about 80% come and sit and do nothing and 20% do everything, right? That's a pretty, you know, sort of standard. I believe our church is probably about 50-50, which is phenomenal. Like, I often say, man, our church punches above its weight in regards to serving and being part of the community. Even our giving last year blew my mind. And when it came to giving gifts for children in the community over Christmas, 450 plus gifts were given, if you didn't know. And for the size of church that we are, that is exceptional. Exceptional. There is a response within our people that I believe we all go, what can we do, not what can't we do, right? There's this thing. And I believe wholeheartedly when the body of Christ comes together and decides that we are in and we're going to respond with we are in using our gifts, whatever it looks like, something special happens. As I said, we're about 50-50. I don't think I've ever seen 100%. I don't know if any church has, but I dream about it. Imagine if everyone who decided to call this place home went, I'm activated, let's go. Do you know how much impact could be had? My mind is boggled by that thought. And I think we got a glimpse of it last year when we did the quick fit. That wall at the back there, if you're only new here, that wall was put in place. The day of Mother's Day, that night, was knocked down. And this whole wall and the whole renovation, including the carpet, the whole sound desk, the whole thing was done in 6 days. Now, here's the thing. I remember when that was called out, guys, we're going to knock down a wall. Beck said, now we've got to do it. How are you going to do it? I said, I don't know. And I'm like, God, send me some people. And you know what? A guy named Johan, I don't know if he's here today. He might be at the 10 a.m., but Johan put up his hand and said, hey, I'll run the project. And I said, okay, awesome. And I remember up until a week before we actually were going to do the actual knockdown of the wall, I said, how many volunteers have you got? And he said, six. Got about six guys. Hopefully there'll be a couple more rock up. And he said, you reckon more rock up? And I went, I hope so. And once again, I prayed. I was like, God, you better bring the people because we've got this job. And I don't. And people are like, Az, what are we going to do? I said, I don't know. Beck was like, where's the wall going? I said, I don't know. We'll just map it out when people come in here. There wasn't even a drawing. But we just went, she just rolled her eyes like, yeah, would have been helpful. But I could see it. Johan could see it. The builder could see it. And then a miracle happened. Over that week, over 100 of you volunteered your time. Over 1,000 man hours was donated, given up to make this a possibility. And I want to remind us what it looks like when we respond with yes. I want to show the video, the little video of what happened last year in that 6 days. It still blows my mind because in my heart, my eyes, it's an absolute miracle. So check out the screen. That was done in 6 days. Unbelievable, right? I think you should give yourself a round of applause for that. Like, I think it was just a glimpse of what God can do.
with a group of people that are sold out for him and go, we want to meet and reach the needs of those in the Redlands for Jesus. And it's a powerful thing. And as I said, it takes a bit of humility to ask for help. And I'm just going to put it out there. I'm sort of someone that doesn't see the mess. Is anyone else like that? Like Beck were like, there's a coffee cup. And I'm like, where? Right in front of you, there's a coffee cup. Clean it up, right? I don't see the mess, right? All the women are doing this with their like husbands. I don't often see stuff. And so if I don't see stuff, I don't know there's a need. And so if I don't know there's a need, I often do nothing. But here's the thing. I just want to say this right now. Going into 2023, there's actually some really high critical needs that there are right now in this church, okay? See Mez over here on the keys. You may or may not have noticed that Mez has pretty much been playing keys for 6 months by herself. Like week in, week out, week in, week out, week in, week out. We need keys players. And if you play piano or keys and you're sitting there going, I can play chords, I can play keys, but you've never ever joined up the music team and you're thinking, but what? It's actually not that scary. But this is actually like a critical need. We can't worship on Sundays without a keys player. It's very hard without the keys player. Very hard. And Mez just keeps going, I'll do it, I'll do it. She's got light still in her eyes, you know. But if you're a keys player and you've got a gift on your life, can I ask you, hey, would you step up this year? See the group, the crew at the back, the AV crew. We desperately need, Sam is like, she's been on, I think, for about 3 or 4 years straight now. I don't know. I'm pretty sure she went through her 10 years sitting there. I don't know. But the thing is, we need someone who is tech savvy, who can, you know, keep those words going up on the screen so when we're worshipping, like me, I can't shut my eyes and sing because I can't remember the words of anything. So I really need those words. And if they're wrong, I'm singing some kind of heresy. I don't want that. So we desperately need AV. And if you want to help out, go up and just talk to them after and say, yeah, I'll help. Teach me. Teach me how to do this. It's not the hardest job, but if you've got to have a bit of a tech mind, a little bit of a tech, the AV, you know, that whole space. And then finally, kids, right? Kids ministry for the last 12 months has ebbed and flowed. And you know, every week it's always been the same story as we just don't have volunteers. We don't have enough parents or volunteers to look after the number of kids. Because did you know that we legally have to have a certain number of leaders per kid, right? And so it's very interesting. You might be going, well, you know, maybe you're a grandparent and you're like, I can serve in kids. Like it doesn't matter your age or well, I suppose it does. You can't be like 5 and serving in kids. But the point being that upping kids, as I said, is probably one of the most critical ministries in this church, but desperately needs help. And I think it's very easy to not see the mess or not see the need, but I'm here humbly as your pastor saying, would you help in 2023? Would you just say yes? I'm not going to sit on the fringes and consume just like those that came to Jesus went, oh, I love the free food, love the message. But you're going to be part of the disciples going, we'll bring what we have and God will multiply it. The beauty of the church and the glory of what God can do is described in 1 Peter 4. It says this, above all, he's describing what the church should be like. Above all, love each other deeply because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. I love that, without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength of God, the strength of God which he provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. In 2023, I believe it's going to be a great year. And I believe God is going to do phenomenal things. I believe that lives are going to be changed. People are going to meet Jesus. Life transformation. One of my highlights last year was knowing we had close to 40 baptisms last year. That is life transformation where people have decided to die to their past and choose to follow Jesus. This year, I believe for more. But we're going to take it will take more than just Beck and I. It'll take us all to go, this year, I'm going to get in. Let's pray. God, I thank you that you've given each and every one of us gifts. And God, I thank you that you've distributed them across this room. You haven't given one person all the gifts to hold the weight. God, I thank you that this year, as we enter in the next couple of weeks into this place of Beacon Church, the idea of being a light in the community, God, I pray that we will respond with yes and amen, I'm in. I want to reach the needs of our community. I want people to meet Jesus. I want to see lives changed. And God, would you use me in 2023? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to our podcast. We believe this message will inspire you into greater intimacy with Jesus, relationship with others, and influence in your world. If you would like to know more about us, you can visit us online at www.elevationchurch.com.au or alternatively, pop into our Redlands location.